Let's turn to Jeremiah 27. I want to read the first 14 verses from Jeremiah 27. Again, here in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord to me, Make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck, and send them to the king of Edom, and to the king of Moab, and to the king of the Ammonites, and to the king of Tyrus, and to the king of Zidon, by the hand of the messengers which come to Jerusalem, unto Zedekiah king of Judah. And command them to say unto their masters, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Thus shall you say unto your masters, I have made the earth, the man, and the beasts that are upon the ground. By my great power and by my outstretched arm have I given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him and his son and his son's son until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. I spake also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, Bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, and serve him and his people, and live. Why will you die? Why will you die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord hath spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, You shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, and that you might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you." I've titled this message, Why Will Ye Die? Why will ye die? And that's God's question to every sinner here this morning who has not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why will you die? Why will you die? At the time of this text, God had delivered all the lands, including Judah, into the hand of that wicked king Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. It was right for God to do it because God did it. He said, I deliver it to whom is meet to me to deliver it to. And he set forth this word to everybody in the land, telling them, submit to the king of Babylon. He declared to everyone that submitted to the king of Babylon, you shall live. But if you will not submit to the king of Babylon, you shall die. You shall die. Now, I know we're used to looking at the king of Babylon and Babylon as falsehood and the king of lies and what have you. But if God said this concerning wicked King Nebuchadnezzar, you can be certain God says this concerning his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to Christ and live. Those that will not submit to him shall die by his hand. I want to look at this question, why will ye die? In three ways here, that three things that God says here concerning the king. He says, first of all, why will you die? When you know that everybody that does not submit to Christ the Lord shall be judged by him and shall die by his hand. Secondly, why will you die? Is it because you listen to lying messengers? And thirdly, why will you die when you know, you've heard it, everyone that submits to Christ shall live. Everyone that submits to him shall live. Let's look at these three questions. Why will you die when all who refuse to submit to Christ shall die by his hand? When you know this, why will you die? God has given all things into the hand of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, like as he did King Nebuchadnezzar right here. It says there in verse 5, I've made the earth, the man, and the beasts that are upon the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and I have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. God gave all these lands to Nebuchadnezzar. Even the beasts he gave to serve Nebuchadnezzar. That was a lot. He gave a lot of land to Nebuchadnezzar. But God has given all things into the hand of King Jesus. He's given all things into his hand. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And Christ is salvation. Christ is salvation. If you have Christ, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have salvation. All things are in his hands. And the reason is because he's God's servant. He's God's servant. He's the one who came forth and served God and perfectly accomplished the will of God. What was it that God sent his Son forth to do? The primary thing God sent forth his Son to do was to manifest the righteousness of God. That was first and foremost above anything else, above your salvation and my salvation. It was to manifest that God is just and that he's the justifier of those that believe on Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ manifest the righteousness of God when he was made of a woman, made under the law, and he fulfilled the law and the prophets in every dot and dash. He did not leave anything undone. He fulfilled all the law and all the prophets. And then our Lord Jesus Christ manifest the righteousness of God when the spotless Lamb of God, as the servant of God, representing his people, the spotless Lamb of God who knew no sin, who would never sin, submitted himself to the Father for him to lay all the iniquity of his people upon him. Why did he do that? So that it might be just for God to pour out judgment on him in place of his people. Romans 5:13 says, sin is not imputed when there is no law. Just think about that statement. What does that mean? Sin is not imputed when there is no law. It means God will not impute sin unless a man has been made sin under law. It's that simple. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of his people that it might be just for God to impute sin to him. And that's what he did. And our Lord manifests the righteousness of God when he spared not his only begotten Son. That's how just he is. When sin was found on his Son, he spared not his only begotten Son. Do you and I think we're going to escape his judgment? He spared not his only Son. And our Lord Jesus Christ manifests the righteousness of God as he poured out his life's blood unto death and satisfied the justice of God entirely, declaring God just and the justifier. And then God raised him from the dead, showing forth his righteousness, showing forth his faithfulness to fulfill his covenant promise. God the Father raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand, and gave him all things. All things. Listen to this scripture. Ephesians, turn there with me. Ephesians 2, verse 20. Ephesians 2, 20. He raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You know what that means? Since God has given him all things and he's reigning right now as the King of Kings, that means everybody is serving him. Everybody is serving him. God said of Nebuchadnezzar, all shall serve him. Well, it's more true of Christ. All are serving him right now. Some are serving him in rebellion, but they're serving him. Some are serving him by his grace, but all are serving him. All are serving him. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. Whatever wrath you see come to pass, whatever evil you see come to pass, it's praising God. And the remainder that could come to pass, the remainder, there's a whole lot more evil we could do. But God restrains it. God restrains it. Brethren, whatever comes to pass in this life, for you and me who believe the gospel, we don't have to worry about a thing. We do not have to worry about anything. We really should never worry. We should never worry. God's working everything for His glory and for the good of His people. Everything. Those that will not submit to Christ, they will perish by His hand. The Lord said of Nebuchadnezzar here that those nations and people that would not come under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, they would perish. And they would perish by Nebuchadnezzar's hand. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who's passed into heaven, and the Scripture says of Him, because He pleased God, so thoroughly pleased God, the Scripture says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess, that in heaven, in earth, under the earth, that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And again, some are going to bow and confess Him in judgment. And some are going to bow and confess Him by His grace. Why will you die? This is inevitable. Listen, we're going to all come before the Lord Jesus Christ. And all judgment is in His hand to do with us as is just. Am I going to meet the just judge of heaven and earth rebelling against Him? That wouldn't be very wise if you went into a courtroom, into a court of law, and you're going to stand before a judge, and the night before you went out and stood on the front lawn of that judge and gave him a cussing. That wouldn't be very smart to reject him and then stand before him. That's what all men are going to do that meet God without Christ. Why will you die? Why will you die? Is it because you're listening to false messengers? Our Lord said here in verse 9, He says here in verse 9, He says, therefore hearken not to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you, to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and you should perish. There was all these different kinds of messengers in that land in that day. And we have this many liars in our day. There's more people lying about Christ in our day than there are people telling the truth about it. There's prophets and diviners and dreamers and enchanters and sorcerers. Scripture says if they speak not according to this word, there's no life in them. If a man stands up and declares to you that Christ died for all men without exception, and he's trying to save all men, and he puts it all in the hand of the sinner, he's telling you a lie. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I laid down my life for the sheep. That's who he laid down his life for, and he accomplished the redemption of his sheep. If somebody stands up and tells you, and this is very popular up where we are, they stand up and they tell you that Christ justified his people, but now if you want to be sanctified, you're going to have to come under the law. And it's a co-effort between you and Christ to be sanctified. He's telling you a lie. Scripture says he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Christ did that. Brother Don read the scripture last night. It's by his will that we're sanctified. Of God is Christ made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And I want to speak to the young people here. I can remember when I was a teenager, and my friends and I did this too. We all would encourage one another to go have fun and not go hear the gospel preached. And we'd encourage one another not to believe the gospel. Oh, we all had our ideas of who God is, and that pretty much boiled down to this: if you just were a good person and your good outweighed your bad, you'd be all right. That's a lie. That's a lie. By God's hand, think about this now. By God's hand, he's brought you under the sound of the gospel this morning. He's brought you under the sound of the truth this morning. Everything you heard last night, everything you're going to hear today, everything you're going to hear tomorrow is the truth according to God's own word. So why will you die by not believing this? This is the gospel. This is the gospel. Why will you die when all who believe on Christ shall live? Why will you die when all who rest in Christ shall live? Look here in verse 12. He says, Jeremiah 27:12, he says, there in the second part, he says, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. How much more true is that of our Lord Jesus Christ? And his yoke is a light and easy yoke. A few chapters over, God tells them that he put an iron yoke upon their neck under Nebuchadnezzar. Christ's yoke is light and easy. You know why? He's already fulfilled the law for his people. He's already took the law out of the way for his people. And he abides in his people. So that by his faithfulness, we live unto God. We're robed in his righteousness so that God receives us. And whatever his believing people do, it's acceptable to God. Whatever they do in the service of Christ, in the service of his people, it's acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I have a table at home. And back when Hurricane Sandy came, I had had surgery on my elbow, and I was laid up in a cast. I had a brand new steel chainsaw in the garage, and a big oak tree laid in my backyard, and a cast, and I couldn't use my chainsaw. So we had this tree cut up, and one of the young fellas in the congregation, he took the base of that tree, and he decided he was going to make his pastor a table with it. And so he sanded on that, and he worked on it. He made legs for it, and it's very rustic looking. But he forgot to let it dry before he put the varnish and everything on it. And it split. And it's got a big crack in it, right to the middle of that table. You think I threw that table away? That table's been sitting right beside my recliner. And I don't care about that split in it. He made it in love to his pastor because he wanted to do something for me. And it's a beautiful table to me. Our works are just full of warts and full of sin and full of cracks. But that love that He's put in the heart, that motive of just wanting to do something because you see what Christ has done for you, God's well pleased with it. God receives it. He receives it. And brethren, here's what He says. When He puts His Spirit in us, when He regenerates His child, when He makes us willing to believe on Christ, He makes you willing to serve Him by faith, constrained by love. He makes you willing to serve His people. To serve His people. He said, serve Him, serve the King, serve His people. He makes you willing to serve His people. And He makes you live. Listen to the Scripture. Whosoever liveth and believeth in Me, Christ said this, whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. They shall never die. If you and I knew how good it is, if we really knew how good it is for a believing, for a brother or sister who dies in Christ, if we knew how good it is for them the moment they close their eyes in death, we'd never shed another tear at a funeral. They don't die. They go to be with the Lord. To see Him whom they love. To see Him who lived for them and died for them. And rose again. And they get to serve Him. They can sing. We sing here and it sounds beautiful when you have a conference and everybody's together. But just imagine that day when everybody's together. And we don't have sin and we can sing like an angel. For all eternity. Why is it that a man won't bring himself to submit to the Lord? Listen to what the Lord said. He said, this is the condemnation. Light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Here's why. Because their deeds are evil. They will not come to... Everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And it's not just your sinful deeds. It's those deeds that you think are good deeds. No sinner wants to come to God and find out that his very best righteousnesses are filthy rags. And most sinners just believe there's no mercy, there's nothing for me if I come to Him in my sin. I have to clean my act up first before I come to it. Listen to this. Turn with me to Isaiah 55. I want you to see this. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. He says in verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. This morning, forsake your way and forsake your thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. Here's what he'll do. He will have mercy upon him. He will have mercy upon him. And he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. We serve a great God. We serve a just God. Every sinner that He's made willing to come to Him, He pardons transgression. He forgives our iniquity. He delights to show mercy to His people. So I ask you again, why? Why will you die? This is good news. This is good news. Do you see what insanity it would be to know this is so and yet reject the King of Kings? I pray this morning that He would come and cause you who hear this to slip your neck under the yoke of our Lord Jesus Christ and live. That's what I pray for you. I tell you what you'll find out. You'll find out blessed is the man that the Lord causes to approach unto him. You'll be satisfied with his house. You'll be satisfied with Christ. And you'll rejoice forevermore. Amen.